Because the doctrine of the Trinity is mysterious, it sometimes causes unbelievers, and even some Christians, to be confused about how the persons of the Trinity relate to each other. For instance, it's clear in many parts of Scripture that the Father has authority over the Son and the Holy Spirit. Does this mean that sometimes there have been disagreements among the persons of the Trinity? And does the Father's authority mean that He forces His will on the Son and the Holy Spirit?
We sometimes talk about the Father's authority over the Son and whether He always gets His way in terms of that authority. I think when we try to impose the idea of human authority on the Trinity, it just doesn't work. Because simply, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, never disagree with each other. They are all in perfect unity. So the idea that one is telling the other what to do just doesn't make sense.
We understand that in groups there are differences of opinion at the human level, and on occasion, like in the military or in an important decision-making situation, somebody has to be the final authority. That's usually the way it works, and so we are tempted to think that that's the way it is with God. And here's Jesus in the garden saying, "Not my will, but yours be done, Father." So it might look as though there is a disagreement of wills within the Trinity, but it's so helpful to understand that the difference in relative authority between the Father and the Son is not the way it was and is in eternity, but that this differential of authority and deference toward the authority of the Father in the case of Gethsemane is a function of Christ's assumption of our humanity. When He says, "Not my will, but thine be done," He is surrendering His human, fearful, relatively weak, relatively less informed will to that of the Father. But when we think of the eternal Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the only way there couldn't be a difference of opinion, because each is infinite and infinitely equal in love, in intelligence, in motivation. There is no conflict of wills. How could there be? There is no compromise of the ultimate perfection of each one of them. They are in absolute harmony, as indeed I think even Jesus was at that level, where He says, "My food, the thing that sustains me, is to do the will of the Father, not as an alien will to which I submit, but something that expresses the deepest desires of my heart as well." And so, in the dynamics of mutual perfection and love and glory, there is no need for a hierarchy of decision making, because there is no gradation of competency to make decisions. It's a beautiful mutuality of three persons of absolute perfection.
Well, often when people discuss the nature of the Trinity and the nature of the relationships that exist between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we often will point to Jesus' statements that He came to do the will of the Father, and that the Father is the Father, and He is the Son, and He is the Son from the Father, and therefore we often tend to think about the relationships of God within the Godhead amongst the persons of the Trinity as though we are talking about some sort of power hierarchy. I think that's fundamentally the wrong way for us to think about the nature of the Trinity. God the Father and God the Son, apparently, according to Jesus' prayer in John 17, shared a glory together. Jesus calls upon the Father to say, "Father, I want you to glorify me now as I have glorified you." There is some sort of mutuality that exists between the persons of the Godhead. Now, having said that, the Father is still, as the ancient theologians of the church said, the fountainhood of all divinity. And therefore, the Father's priority and precedence is significant. Jesus himself says, or Paul says about Jesus, that at the end of all things, the Son will present all the kingdoms of the earth to his Father. That the Son came to make us children of the Father. But the Father came to bear, sent his Son to exalt the name of his Son and give him a name which is above every name. Even when you think about the Holy Spirit, it's telling to me that Jesus would say to his disciples, if you sin against the Father, it can be forgiven. If you sin against the Son, it can be forgiven. But if you sin against the Holy Spirit, it cannot be forgiven. So there is some sort of true and deep mutuality which does not do away with the distinctions or the notion of the Father's authority. But we could say it, perhaps finally, wrap it up in this sense. The Father's authority is always an authority of love. The Father's authority is an authority that loves the Son, desires the Son to be glorified, just as the Son then desires the Father to be glorified. And finally, if they share a heart of love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then the idea that there would be a disagreement of wills between the Father, Son, and Spirit becomes kind of comical in one sense, because if the Son eternally and the Spirit eternally long to do the will of the Father, and the Father eternally longs to glorify and honor the Son and the Spirit, then essentially in the life of God there is a unanimity of will, a unanimity of love, because a unanimity of being in this fellowship of the Trinity.